I am going to just make a quick note on that tamarind toffee, because obviously everyone knows what mango is. But tamarind, people are a little bit more hesitant to try it because obviously it's a new thing. Of course, we would try to bring things that are more palatable for us. Tamarind is a fruit that grows on a tree. It can be sweet or sour. The sour they use for cooking, like pad thai, it's essential to have tamarind in it. That's actually, you can find out if it's a real pad thai or not. A lot of North American restaurants will use ketchup. So definitely look for the tamarind stuff. And then the sweet version, they make into candies. And so that's what we have out there. It does have just a small touch of spice, because of course they love spice too. So, but not enough to burn off your tongue. So yeah, as Tammy shared, the church has been growing step by step. But it's one thing that is different is that these ladies are baby Christians. They're like 1, 2, 3 years in their faith, and they have no frame of reference about Christianity. They didn't grow up in a church like this. You know, as I saw the kids being prayed for this morning, they're hearing Bible stories. They're being encouraged to grow in their knowledge of the Word of God and to grow in their faith. And that's something that's totally foreign to these ladies. And I do just want to take some time this morning to share about the state of Christianity in Thailand. We have learned a lot being there over the past few years. We've really broadened our world perspective, you know, studying the language and the culture. But there's still so much to learn. So what is going on in Thailand? Well, the first Protestant missionary came to Thailand in 1828. So it's been around 200 years. And that sounds like a long time. Like, it should be that Christianity has a good presence. Well, unfortunately not. Today, only about 0.8% of the population is evangelical Christian. And if you compare that to South Korea, just a few hours away by plane, their first missionary came in 1884, so about 150 years, and they're 22% evangelical Christian. So it's quite a world of difference. And so, you know, it's why is this? What is holding back the Thai people? And we got our first clue on this early on in our first year. We were at a yard sale. And in Thailand, the foreigners hold yard sales when they're moving back to North America or they're going to another country. And so it was at one of these yard sales that we met a couple that had been there for over 30 years. And so we were browsing their items, we were chatting, and I was thinking, well, this is a great opportunity to just glean some of their wisdom. And so I asked them, now that you've been here for over 30 years, what would you share to someone who is new to Thailand? And they responded that while they have witnessed Thai people becoming Christian, they don't appear transformed to those around them. They stop going to Buddhist temples, and they start going to church, but otherwise they seem to be the same people. Really? Same people? You know, if I read 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. When we believe in Christ, our lives change. We are a new creation. And John 13 talks about the love that the world will see. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So what is happening with the Thai people that they're not seeing love and action in a different way in these people's lives? If I had to look at my own life prior to becoming a Christian, you know, I would probably be considered good by the world's standards. You know, I worked hard, I didn't party, I didn't get into sort of wild things, and I just kept out of other people's business. But when Jesus got a hold of my life, those who were closest to me were like, Mike, you've changed. And they could see the difference. You know, mind you, I was just living life like I was, like I didn't think anything about it, but it was a new life that Christ had given me. I'm going to just take a moment to share a story. When Tammy and I got married 9.5 years ago, if I remember correctly, one Christmas tradition we started was to make Christmas cookies and hand them out. And we used this as an opportunity to build relationships in the neighborhood that we were in here in Kitchener. And we would make several dozen cookies and put them on like nice Christmas-looking plates and head out. And then the one neighbor that was closest to us was an older lady that had been there for quite some time. We met her shortly after moving into our house. And so we head out with a plate of cookies for her, knock on her door and, you know, say hello and wish her Merry Christmas. And we said, we brought this plate of cookies for you. And she paused and she looked at us and she goes, wow, I don't think anyone has ever done this for me. And it was touching. You know, this is just a very simple example of love being demonstrated in action. But I'm sure that this lady still remembers that to this day. So going back to the tithes, a lot of believers do the right Christian things. You know, they go to church, they pray, they read their Bibles, but deep down in their heart, the way they see the world is still shaped by Buddhism. And there's this one strong value in Thai culture called grengjai. And there is no direct translation of this word. It is really difficult to describe in a sentence or two because the meaning changes depending on the situation. But basically, it means not wanting to bother or upset anyone. It's all about keeping the peace, avoiding confrontation, and helping everybody save face. It's all about good public image. But that makes real heart change tricky for the Thai people. Because in the Bible, transformation often means facing things like injustice, admitting when we're wrong, and making things right with other people that we've hurt. So things like repentance and accountability and speaking these hard truths tend to get toned down. So on the surface, Thai churches look united and calm, but that's because people often bury their problems and don't talk about them openly. And so this New Testament idea of servant leadership doesn't always fit in to their culture that values status, harmony, and a public image. The second thing that helped us to understand the lack of Christianity in Thailand was the saying, to be Thai is to be Buddhist. You have the Buddhism religion, you have the Thai identity, and it's like this in their culture. And so separating the two are pretty hard. It's not official in their constitution or their law, but it's often referred to as the state religion. Tammy and I have not traveled the whole country, but everywhere we have, it's very common to see a Buddhist temple in the village. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. In the cities, for each district, there'll be at least one or more temples. If you ever go to Thailand, there's never a shortage of temples to visit. Obviously, there's the more touristy ones, but in general, there's no shortage of them. And then the national holidays that they have are tied to Buddhist ceremonies and traditions. And then Tammy alluded to the king and queen earlier when she was talking about Mother's and Father's Day. We do have a royal family, and the king is typically seen as a protector of the Buddhist faith. So then when the Thais think of Christianity, they think of it as a Western religion. And we were talking to a Thai friend one day about just Christianity in general, and we were talking about Canada and the USA. And they were surprised to find out that not all Canadians and Americans are Christian. Wouldn't it be great if this whole country was Christian? Oh, yeah. So if you had to take this saying, to be Thai is to be Buddhist, and apply it for Canada, how would you fill in that? To be Canadian is to be what? Do you think Christian? Unfortunately, I don't think so. We might say to be Canadian is to say sorry too much. But it's definitely not tied to religion. In Canada, our faith doesn't define our nationality. And so that's why the message of Jesus is so powerful. When someone puts their faith in Christ, they're not losing their identity, they're receiving a new one. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So unfortunately, when a Thai converts to Christianity, it can mean losing social status. It can mean losing family relationships. And others feel like they're betraying the Thai identity and culture. Thailand is an open country. There is no persecution from the government, but you have this kind of hidden beneath the surface persecution. Our Thai language teacher at our school, she was a Christian, and she shared that when she decided to become a Christian, the family she was living with basically distanced her for 4 years before they finally accepted her decision. And you know, it's tough. You know, she was, I think, 15 years old. And so for, you know, 4 years of her younger life, her family didn't really want to interact with her much. So it can be a challenge for the Thai people. Another challenge for Thai people is that they have this social hierarchy that shows up in church life. And a lot of this comes from how Buddhism shapes their view of religious authority. Pastors are often treated with the same amount of respect that people give to monks, which leads to people thinking that they're more holier or more important than the rest of the people. And then if you were a wealthy church member, or if you had a good position in Thai society, whether you're a politician or a leader in some way, that gives you more influence as well. And sometimes these people speak up and they're louder than the rest of them, and so they get a little bit more authority than their actual spiritual maturity is allows, I should say. One Thai theologian commented on this issue, and he said, "We have changed our religion, but not our social order." And unfortunately, some Thai church leaders sometimes act like bosses. In their culture, it's widely accepted that the lower level leaders can't disagree with the senior leaders. So that means when they have good ideas, they usually can't bring them up because of their status. They can't be critical of anything that the senior leader does. And then in Buddhism, if you needed something done or you wanted some sort of blessing, you'd have to go to the temple and you would have to ask the monk, "Can you pray for me?" Or you can, they would chant some sort of saying over them or bless them in some way to give them good luck in their work or their life. And a similar idea has crossed into Christianity. Thai Christians, they come to church and they ask the pastor, "Pastor, can you please pray for my friend?" But in reality, we can all go to Jesus. Why? Because we're all priests. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And we all have direct access to God through Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5 reads, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." The last challenge I'm going to talk about is that the Thai people sometimes don't embrace the gospel because the church and missionaries use words and concepts that are foreign to them. I am guilty of this problem myself, primarily due to a lack of understanding of culture and language. I shared previously about the Christmas cookie example here in Canada. Well, when we moved to Thailand, we decided we'd do the same thing. It was a bit different, and I'll share a little bit more details about that. We lived in a condo, so our neighbors, it's very hard to get to know them. So we decided that we would give out cookies to the Thai people we interacted with regularly in life. Mind you, Christmas does look different there. They don't have any holidays for Christmas. They do have New Year's, but there is no, you know, the country taking the time off for Christmas. There's no snow, definitely. It's way too hot for that. But they do love to decorate and celebrate in general. And so they're starting to copy the West in terms of putting up lights and decorating around that time of year. Because they just follow the West and whatever we do. And in general, they're open to Christians sharing about Christmas because they also want to celebrate. So after we figured out a cookie that wouldn't melt in the blazing heat, we decided that when we'd give out the cookies, that I would take the opportunity to share a simple gospel in Thai. My Thai was about a year long at this point. And so I just worked with our language helper and, you know, figured out what I would share. And so We decided that after we give them the cookies and wish them Merry Christmas, I would say, you know, do you know why people celebrate Christmas? And people would talk about Santa Claus or maybe giving gifts. And then I would follow that up with, well, the real reason is Jesus' birth. Have you heard of Jesus? And for Thai people, some of them have, some of them haven't. And then I would ask them, do you know why Jesus was born? And that's where everyone doesn't have an answer. So that's where I take the opportunity, can I explain a little bit? And then I would go down into just sharing a very simple gospel, maybe about 10 sentences or so. So we did this cookies and gospel exchange with a lady at the market that we would often order food from. When we would go to pick up food, I would use it as an opportunity to chat with her briefly and just practice my Thai. In general, Thai people love the fact that you're speaking their language, and they will encourage you to keep learning. So over time, we built up a relationship with her, and she was on our list to give cookies to. But this day, as I shared the gospel with her, one of the lines that I said prompted a question from her. I told her something to the effect that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. And the question was, who is a sinner? Well, of course, everybody's a sinner. We all know that. Obviously, I didn't tell her that way, but I could tell by the look on her face that she was a bit confused. And we've learned that Buddhism does not teach the category of a sinner. In Christian theology, sin isn't something we do. It's also part of our nature. But in Thai Buddhism, the word for sin, bap, means wrongdoing, bad karma, or merit lost. And the important thing here is that it's specific and situational. So that means a person is not labeled permanently as a sinner. So they can do something that is classified as sin, which is breaking one of the five Buddhist precepts, murder, theft, sexual misconduct, lying, or being drunk, or doing something that causes significant harm to others. But the act of doing that does not make them a sinner. Most Thais view them as neutral. They view themselves as ordinary people, and they're just trying to be good individuals in general, but they don't think of themselves as broken people in need of salvation. So when I told this lady we are all sinners, what she heard was something like, we are all criminals or evil people by nature. And that grows strongly against her worldview. And so as I reflect on this, this reminds me of Colossians 4, 5 to 6, where it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So while you could say I was probably making the most of the opportunity here, I was probably missing the salt of Thai culture. And although I was lacking the right understanding of the Thai culture at that time, our relationship is still good with this lady today. When we briefly met her for the last time before coming back to Canada, we told her we wouldn't be back until the new year. And the first sentence out of her mouth was, oh, I won't be getting any cookies this year. So there's lots more to be covered on this topic, but these few points will hopefully help you to understand some of the challenges that we have with Christianity in Thailand. More work needs to be done to allow the Thais to experience Jesus without adopting the Western forms of Christianity that are foreign to them. And I feel like part of the problem is that Western missionaries have led the work for so long that it's really taking time for Thai believers to find their voice, but it is finally starting to happen. In our Thai church that we attend on Sundays, not the organization's church, our Thai worship team is now starting to write songs in Thai that are from their heart. There's no English translation for them. Typically, Thai churches will use English songs that are translated to Thai. And thankfully, there's some extra factors that will also help change the landscape for Buddhism. Faith in Buddhism is being shaken due to news about scandals, drugs, and women in temples. And these scandals have been happening for about the last 20 years, and it's only increasing. Just a few months ago in July, multiple scandals came out at the same time. There were some headlines, and I'll just read them off here. Four Thai monks arrested after testing positive for meth, and 13 monks involved in sex scandal, and senior monk accused of diverting several hundred million baht. These are definitely getting more common, and it is shaking the faith of the Buddhists that were more strong in their faith. Some time ago, we were talking to a Thai friend who was our Thai language tutor in the past. And that particular day when we were learning language, we decided to take a break from it and just ask her about culture things. And there's this particular tradition in Buddhism where the monks, they'll go out from the temples and they'll go out to the markets and they'll just walk down the street and they have this like big basket in front of them. And the expectation is that Buddhists will stop and offer alms. So they give them money or they'll give them food. And they basically do this and they collect basically their food and money for the day. And so we asked our Thai friend who is a Buddhist. God is working on her. And so we just asked her, if you saw a monk like this, would you give him money? And she said, no, because I don't know if he's a good monk. And so you can see that the faith in Buddhism is being shaken. The younger generation are really thinking about what is happening within their culture. And so I know that what I've shared has been a lot about Christianity in Thailand, but let's take a moment to bring it closer to home. What I've shared applies to us too. In my first point, I shared how the verses I shared reminded us that we are new people in Christ and that people will notice us because of our love for one another. The verse in 2 Corinthians 5 talks about, you know, the new creation we have become. And the verse in John 13 talks about the love that we demonstrate to other people really helps them to see that we are Jesus' disciples. And so the Thai people don't notice anything different about the Thai Christians, but what about you? Would people notice something different about you? Something different about your life? Hopefully it's not in a weird way, but hopefully they see evidence of God's love through your actions. We all have ways that we can demonstrate God's love to the people around us. Secondly, I know that our Canadian identity doesn't mean that we are Christian. A lot of people claim to be Christian in this country. The statistic is actually over 70%. But do you really see Christ as your identity? As I said before, Galatians 2:20 reminds us that our identity comes from Christ living in us, not from what our culture expects us to be. And here in Canada, just like anywhere, we have a lot of cultural pressures to conform to the world. Are there times in your life where you're tempted to compromise your values to fit in? Yes, we do need to adapt at times, and not all change is bad, but there are definitely times where the change is not biblical and needs to be rejected. It takes courage to stand up for the values that we have in the Christian faith. Thirdly, while we may not have the society status problem that Thailand has, but we aren't perfect. As 1 Timothy 2:5 says, Jesus is the way for each one of us to approach the Father on our own. So are you taking the time to do that in your own walk? Or are you bringing your friends here and asking the leadership, Pastor Ken and Pastor Dave, to pray for them? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there are times where we are called to be the ministers of grace in their life. There are times that we as a church should get together to pray, but a lot of times we need to remember that we are priests in God's eyes and that he does hear us. Lastly, as you talk to the other people in your life, the people at your work, people at your school, and you have the opportunity to share with them, are you using words and concepts that are foreign to them? The verse in Colossians 4 speaks to the tone and wisdom that we need when we share our faith with people. And I know that we're all at different places in our walk with Christ. We've been really given a privilege to know him, and we have the privilege to share that with others. We are ambassadors of Christ. And so because of that, we should do our best to be ready to share the gospel, even if it is a few sentences. And it should be in a way that people can understand. I'll be honest, I used to overthink it. I used to think I needed to have the answer to every question that they would ask me so that I would be always ready. But I've learned over time that God works through my weakness. And so that I pray that our words would be gracious and well-seasoned, not just accurate, but that they would carry meaning and be easy to understand by the people we're talking to. And so as I wrap up here, I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to just share a small tidbit of life in Thailand. There's a lot more that we can share, and we'd love to share more with you after the service. As Tammy said, there's a table outside with some Thai treats. And I just want to thank each one of you for your prayers and support over the past few years. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we approach your throne of grace, and we can approach it because Jesus made a way. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came down into this world, you lived a perfect life, you died a perfect death, and you arose again so that we would have purpose and hope in this life. And I'm just thankful, Lord, for this church, thankful how you're using it. Thank you for the ones in leadership who labor. Thank you for all those in the church body who labor. We all labor in different ways, Lord. And we just pray that you would continue to raise up laborers to go out into your harvest. The harvest is plentiful, and we're just thankful that you choose to use us when you don't need to. We give you thanks and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.